TCL is a proud sponsor of the 1500 ESPN Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
Raised on basketball. Raised in front of a computer screen. Raised for covering the game. Raised by Wolves. Now talking all things Timberwolves. The Raised by Wolves podcast.
Okay, take two. Take two. This one's going over the air. Run it back. Oh, my God.
You can, please be kind. Rewind. Nice to see you again, Manny.
Yeah. Been a long time, Derek.
I know. It's been a long hour and a half without you.
Right. Oh, my God. Okay. So.
I was almost home, and I get a notification from Jim Sharania that Jimmy Butler has requested a trade from the Timberwolves.
Jimmy wants out.
Either the Nets, the Knicks, or the Clippers. And I text Manny, oh, hey, Jimmy just requested a trade.
That's a very PG version of what you said. What you
and
texted
also,
me.
I also left out the very non-PG things you said back to that.
Right,
because we had an hour this that we just had to throw out.
Yeah, and we had people sending us questions and all of that.
Great questions. There were so many.
And then just a Shams bomb just drops, and Johnny K comes in with it, and then Woj comes in with, you know,
the
teams that Jimmy wants to be traded to and all this other stuff. But wow, man, this is crazy. I can't get around, like, the timing of this is just crazy. And we talked about in the version that you guys are not really going to hear because... You know,
it's kind of a shame.
It is kind of a shame. Yeah. But I mean, it is amazing that we talked about this, that this just, how did this not happen sooner? Like, why did this not happen sooner? You know, why did this conversation not happen sooner? Why is this happening?
How did we get here?
Less than a week before training camp starts. My goodness.
Why was nothing done sooner? And now we do have the optics of, okay, you either trade Jimmy Butler 15 months after giving up Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and Lauri Markkanen. And keep in mind, you got Justin Patton back, who has not played, is not going to play for the
foreseeable
future.
Has played one game for you.
4 minutes.
4 minutes. And
now,
has another broken foot.
So you trade him, and unless you really nail the return, your other option is going to be to keep him and let him walk for nothing, which is an even worse look, and risk alienating Kat even more. But apparently it's the contract stuff that's bugging him more than Townsend Wiggins.
Yeah, that's what Johnny K tweeted out.
Though I don't think he would mind being away from Townsend Wiggins.
Yeah. This is just, woo. All right. Well, let's not waste any time. When all this found out, I sent a text to our guy, Jace Frederick, and asked him, hey, can you come on for a few minutes with us just to talk about this? Because I know that everybody who covers the Wolves and is connected to the Wolves and all of that, like, everybody's phones are blowing up right now. So I just told Jason, I said, can you come on with us for a few minutes? And he agreed to do that. So, but everybody's phone is blown up. I'm sure Jace's phone and emails and everything's blown up. I'm sure Doogie and Johnny K's phones are blowing up right now. It's crazy. Jimmy Butler
is requesting a trade.
We should
just call one of those guys and be like, hey, how's it going? How's your day?
What's up? Anything
going
on today?
As they're like on the phone trying to dig and do their jobs. They're just like, hey, what'd you have for lunch? And...
All right. Without further ado, let's get Jace on the line. All right. Joining us now on the Raised by Wolves podcast, he covers the Minnesota Timberwolves for the St. Paul Pioneer Press and TwinCities.com. Jace Frederick on the line. Dude, what is going on? This is crazy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, I think this is maybe an expected outcome that people had anticipated heading into this highly anticipated meeting between Butler and Tibbs in L.A. on Tuesday, but it's weird to see it now kind of come to fruition, Jimmy Butler requesting a trade from Minnesota. It just seems like it's kind of all things have just been bubbling, festering towards this all summer between, you know, rumored discontent between Butler and his younger teammates, namely Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns. You know, he turned down an extension offer from the Wolves, but I think everybody expected that because financially it didn't make sense for him to sign it. But, you know, I just don't know if maybe he likes the direction that this franchise is going. I certainly still don't really think he has any problems with Tibbs by any means. he obviously talks about wanting to win. I think he's probably pretty convinced that you can't win at the highest level here, not with the cast around him, and he might be right about that. But you look at like his preferred destinations right now of what Woj tweeted, the Clippers, Nets, and Knicks, I think is right.
Yeah.
They don't exactly look like championship rosters too, but they certainly have the cap space to make it happen here in the next year or two, where the Wolves are strapped and it's kind of like, hey, here's the roster and this is going to be the roster. So if you don't like it, then maybe it is kind of not a terrible decision to try to get out of here.
So you reached out to, I saw you tweeted out, you reached out to Jimmy's agent, Bernie Lee, mm-hmm. and he basically said he has no idea what's going on, or he just hasn't heard anything yet, or what's the deal there?
Yeah, that's what he said. Exactly the truth of that, I don't know. That was all he said. He was pretty short, which is totally fine. You never even know if you're going to get agents. But you did have it confirmed that the deal is, at least from a source, that is indeed what happened, that Jimmy requested it. So certainly believe it to be true, confirming the Athletic report from Shams and John Krasinski. It seems like this is going to happen. I mean, like, we're a week away from – less than a week away now from media day and training camp, and Jimmy making this request to Tibbs yesterday. It's like they don't have much time, but there's no way in my mind that Jimmy can come to training camp now. You cannot think that can happen.
Speaking of media day and training camp coming up in 5-6 days, whatever it is right now, rank these three and how awkward they're going to be to hear from: Jimmy, Towns, and Tibbs.
Tibbs probably the most, because okay, if they don't have a deal done by then, I'm assuming Jimmy's not showing up.
I'm assuming there's no deal done yet.
Yeah, okay, if there's no deal done, I'm assuming Jimmy's still not showing up. Otherwise, that would be the most awkward by about a million. Other than that, I should say Tibbs, because he's going to get questions about Jimmy. He's going to probably have to like decline them all at that point. After that, probably Carl, because he'll actually say something. And then Andrew, because he'll ask him questions about Jimmy, and he'll respond probably similar to the way he responds to most things, which is pretty short answer, is not exactly saying much.
Halfway audible.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I'd be really interested to hear from both Carl and Tibbs. But Andrew, you can obviously ask. His brother tweets, quote,
"Hallelujah."
The Butler News within about 2 minutes saying hallelujah. So that's pretty, that kind of shows you all you need to know about how Andrew felt about having Jimmy on the team and the way Jimmy tried to lead him. Obviously didn't appear to be favorable. I'm guessing it's that, though. It could also obviously be that maybe Andrew didn't like his role with Jimmy on the team, too. That could also play into it. But anyway, I would honestly say that all three are probably pretty awkward.
Oh, there's no question they're going to be awkward. And
it'll be an odd day next Monday here.
Oh, man, I'm going to be there on time and not miss a second of it. when you look at so Johnny K tweets out that it had more to do with contractual reasons why Jimmy wants out, but it can't hurt to want to get away from Towns and Wiggins for him, I'm sure.
Yeah, and contractual reasons doesn't make a ton of sense.
Kind of weak.
Just in the terms of, you look at, yes, Minnesota could have cleared a ton of cap space to renegotiate a contract for Jimmy this offseason, but they would have had to move somebody like at least Gorgie to make that space possible and basically rip up Jimmy's contract and renegotiate a new one, in which Jimmy could have made a lot more money starting this year. Maybe those other teams have the space to do that, and maybe that's what he's talking about wanting. But otherwise, Minnesota's the team that could offer them the most the next season. So that didn't make a whole ton of sense. So I'm not entirely sure exactly how much money could have played into this, because it just doesn't seem to line up that way.
The only thing I could think of, the only theory I could think of if this was really about contractual reasons, Jace, is like maybe in this meeting, Tibbs sat down with Jimmy, or I don't know if they were actually – in person or if it was a conference call. I don't know. I'm not going to, whatever.
It was
minor.
A person from what I've heard.
Okay.
A person in LA. Right.
Okay. So the only theory I could think of is that maybe Tibbs sat down with Jimmy and said, look, want to keep you around here long term, but I can't give you a complete, like, full supermax type of contract, but I want to keep you around. And Jimmy said, no, I need a supermax contract. And then that's maybe, like, if it was truly about contractual reasons, that's the only theory I can think of, like maybe that it had more to do with that.
Sure, and that makes sense to me, but it's just so much can happen in a year that I would be surprised if Tibbs would say, hey, next year, here's what we're going to offer you. Because just based off how Jimmy plays, injuries, anything like that, it's hard to say that would even come up. But I agree with you. That's one thing where if Tip said, hey, next summer, I don't know if it's going to happen, then I could see Jimmy saying, well, then I want out of here now. That's a good point. But I would just even be surprised if they went about the conversation in that way. But, you know, who knows? I mean, at the end of the day, we really have no idea.
How did we get here, dude? Like, this is crazy. Like, a year ago, we were all, you know, if you're a Wolves fan, you're pumped and you're excited, and Jimmy has this great press conference where he gives out his phone number and everybody's like, I love this guy. This guy's great. He's awesome. He's fun-loving and all of this. And then you go through the season. They make the playoffs for the first time in 14 years. They improve their win total by 16. And everybody is crabby and miserable and mad at each other. And there's all this speculation about whatever, people not getting along and all this stuff. How the hell did we get here?
Yeah, it's a good question. It was kind of a crazy year in that aspect, you know. I mean, I think maybe like the pressure and expectations can do that to people, and people are wondering like, well, why aren't you playing as good as people think you should be playing right now? And then it's kind of like, well, I don't think these guys are working hard enough, and then that's a frustrating thing to have if you're Butler and you see that at younger guys when you're like, okay, this is the point in my career when I'm supposed to be working towards the championship, and maybe you come in looking at those guys saying, oh, I can win with these guys, and then you watch them work, and you're thinking, maybe I can't. So then you kind of try pushing them, and Towns and Wiggins are like, what are you doing? Like, this isn't the way I want to go about these things. So, you know, I don't know. And then it just seemed like nobody was ever quite happy with how each other were doing things in the locker room, on the court. I don't know. Maybe it just wasn't the right mix of personalities. I really think that that's pretty important in a locker room, especially between your top players. You know, maybe you can have guys on the bench who don't love your star or things like that. But, you know, it seems like your starting lineup, at least your top two or three guys, really have to kind of gel if you want your team to be successful. And when the personalities just don't fit, things can go awry pretty quickly in kind of the manner that they did here.
When you look at, like, Jimmy Butler, and obviously he's had to work his way to really prove himself in the NBA. I mean, you look at someone like Karl-Anthony Towns, the number one overall pick, he's going to get a lot more leeway in how hard he has to work in the NBA to solidify himself, whereas Jimmy Butler from day one was more or less fighting every single day, every single practice to prove himself. Do you think that's some of just that kind of work ethic in Jimmy just expecting everyone to be like him and
work and grind
him
like he does?
Yeah. Where it is not everyone may necessarily need to do that, or Cat may not be there yet.
Right, and if you're Jimmy, you're probably looking at guys like Cat and Wiggins, especially this last year, saying, like, you guys should be working really hard because you haven't done anything yet.
Or you could be really good if you did.
Yeah, right, exactly, and that's probably a frustrating thing, and I'm not even 100% saying that Jimmy's, you know, right on that. I'm just kind of guessing what things look like from his perspective. Not saying that, yes, this is the truth, this is how it went, you know, like, Jimmy's absolutely right. I'm saying, from Jimmy's perspective, he's probably looking at it thinking, because he mentioned many times this year, like, you know, I think he said to the Chicago Sun-Times, like, I don't understand why people don't want to win like I do, want to work like I do. He's probably looking at guys like Towns who are mega talented, and if he doesn't think they're working hard enough, he's probably thinking, hey, like, before this year, before I got here, you hadn't been an all-star, you hadn't made the playoffs. Like, what makes you think you don't need to work this hard? You know, like, if we want to go to the championship, I need you working harder. And I think he tried to push them, Wiggins and Towns, the way that he thought best. And it just didn't work with them. And obviously, I think it was a little off-putting to Towns and Wiggins, especially kind of the constant barrage of it. It just didn't work out. I mean, I don't think it worked out the way that anybody thought it was going to when they came here. Media, Tibbs, players alike. It just didn't seem to mesh quite right here.
You know, in hindsight, and this is really easy to say, that looking back on how that last year in Chicago went for Jimmy, where it was him, Dwayne Wade, and the veterans against Rondo and the kids, and how divided that locker room was. And we just kind of shrugged it off like, yeah, but it's the Bulls. And now, I mean, wouldn't you say that we have a pretty good idea of where most of the problems most likely came from in the Bulls?
Yeah, maybe. I also just think, you know, like, sometimes the different players have a challenging time, I guess, relating to different generations of players. You know, like, maybe we do see a lot of guys, they just aren't working as hard as some of the older guys did. Maybe they are just doing it in a different way. Maybe Butler just has a difficult time relating to guys who are just coming into the league who, you know, and maybe, like, his leadership method isn't the best way to go about it. You know, like, this is all kind of speculating. But it is 2 years in a row now where Jimmy's had problems with younger guys. But, you know, in the same respect, you know, like the way the Wolves were going about it with Wiggins and Towns, as good as they were 2 years ago, they improved by like 3 wins. And I don't think we can say that method was entirely successful either. I think there's a lot of things that Minnesota has to figure out even after trading Jimmy Butler. Like, hey, is the way we're going here, is the direction we're going, even after a Butler trade, is that the right course of action either?
So how do you think, what's your best guess on how Glenn Taylor feels about this now? Because, you know, a year ago, Tibbs presents the idea of trading for Jimmy Butler, and obviously Glenn would have to sign off on it and say, okay, go ahead and do that. But now, like, you do that, and then a year later, like, this happens now. I mean, if you're Glenn Taylor, what's your best guess on, like, how Glenn Taylor may view this whole situation now?
I would guess he's probably a little devastated. A, he likes that young core. He really likes Zach LaVine a lot,
yeah.
Just as, you know, player and more so person, which Glenn really kind of does care about, you know, the kind of person these people are. He likes relating to them. He likes getting to know them. So when there kind of was a relationship there between LaVine and him, he obviously had to be convinced that, hey, this is the right direction for our franchise, and obviously he bought in on that. And I think he thought when Butler came in that, okay, now we are really building. We're going to see this thing really escalate, and we're going to hopefully, if not this year, we're going to make big strides, and eventually here in 2 or 3 years, we're going to be in a spot where we can contend for a championship. And, man, he's had to experience a lot of losing as the owner of this franchise, and it's hard now. Like, if they trade Jimmy, unless they get some established piece back, which I don't think any of us expect them to, I'm assuming it's going to have to be young players and picks again, then you're probably heading back to a spot where you're not expected to make the playoffs again this year. I mean, unless Wiggins makes a big jump, unless Towns makes another jump, unless the defense makes is somehow even better without Butler on the court, which just doesn't seem likely. It's probably taking another 2 steps back again, and kind of going through this rebuild again. It's not a total rebuild, obviously, when you already have Towns and Wiggins in the fold, but I got to think he's getting a little tired of this. I think his hopes probably got up quite a bit when they got Butler. The great things were on the horizon, and now it looks like if there are great things, they're probably another 2 or 3 years away, which is probably going to be a pretty tough pill for him to swallow.
So now, where do you think this team goes, you know, in the next couple of 2-3 years? I mean, as far as, you know, maybe who coaches this team, is Tibbs still in place? Who's, you know, running the team? Where are they at, especially with how much stronger the West got this summer?
You know, just looking forward, it's, like I said, I have a hard time thinking unless they get another established piece who's, I mean, like with Jimmy, with an all-NBA player, they were going to be a team that was going to be probably battling for a playoff spot. I would have guessed they were going to make it, but it was, you know, I'm sure it was going to come down to the wire to some degree. Like, I think the West is going to be really competitive again, and I think everybody other than Golden State and Houston was going to have to scratch by claw just to make sure they got in. Without Jimmy, and you're probably not going to get a player back of that caliber who's going to help you to the degree that Butler was going to help you this year, I don't see them making the playoffs. Just with knowing with Tibbs' relationship, kind of where he was standing in the franchise, I find it really hard to believe then that unless they see certain things, unless things go a certain way and things kind of change course, you know, between like relationships and both with him and the players, him and, you know, the business side of the organization, I if they miss the playoffs, I'd have a hard time seeing Tibbs surviving this year. At that point, then somebody else comes in, and, you know, I still think it's a climb for this team to get back into even the playoffs. You know, these next couple years, certainly you'll have a little bit more money to spend if you get rid of Butler's contract, but, you know, Cat's contract extension is going to be for quite a bit more, so I don't know exactly how much money you're freeing up there. Taj's money obviously will come off the books too after this year, so you'll have a little bit more money to play with.
They can pretty much do a soft reset aside from Gorgie's deals and Wiggins' deals, which at that point you'll want to float the team up to the salary floor.
Right. I think Teague will still have one more year. I'm not sure if
he's got a player option.
But he's probably not walking away from 19.
He's not walking away from 19, I'm not thinking. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how much space they have. Does anybody want to come here again, or do you have to continue to try to, like, build to the draft all over again? Like, as much as fans didn't like watching this past year, I have a hard time thinking they're going to be back in that position again
for a while
in the near future, which I know is hard for a Timberwolves fan to hear, but I just don't see it. Maybe I'm wrong, but just looking at the roster, looking at the Western Conference, I have a hard time seeing that.
And it's such a mistake, I think, to use Twitter as like a sample of the consensus opinion.
Sure.
But, I mean, just looking at the way that Wolves Twitter kind of sort of started handling the season, it was, you know, as especially when the strife came out, it was, you know, honestly, I would have missed the playoffs, you know, if it meant, you know, having a team that I could enjoy and at least appreciate cheering for, even if maybe they won 35, 38 games, which always surprised me, you know, given how much fans have rightfully lamented the lack of a playoff berth.
Yeah, and it was weird this year even because, you know, they had all these sellouts. Like, the attendance was far better this year, which makes you think people did like the team. But I'm telling you, the atmosphere at the games wasn't always that great. Like, they would get down, you know, 18 to 10 in the first quarter, a team that most people would assume they should beat, and the Bluebirds would come out. It's like, well, this team's fighting for a playoff spot.
This franchise has a short leash in this town, I think.
Yeah, right, exactly, which is, it was odd. You know, like, attendance is much better, which would lead you to believe, okay, Twitter's a small sample size, people are behind this team. But then just, like, the atmosphere at the Target Center led you to believe, okay, maybe they're not behind this team. I don't know how fans are going to feel about it now, even. Like, or do you think they're really going to start? Like, if the Timberwolves come out again this next year and they continue to not play defense or anything like that, it's only going to get worse, I think, especially if the wins aren't there at as high of a clip. It's going to be an interesting season, I'll say that.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that's kind of hard about losing Jimmy is that, you know, that's a name for casual fans that they know who might just tune in for the All-Star weekend or whatever, that know Jimmy Butler, that know who he is. And, I mean, it was really kind of a source of credibility despite, you know, all the problems that came with it and maybe the weird fit with Wiggins. But he at least further legitimized this franchise.
Yeah, and you, that helps from a national perspective. And I do just think it's important to have a veteran piece, you know, like particularly one of high standing, like a good player. I think it made a lot of sense to have that, to have a guy, kind of guy who could kind of really show Towns and Wiggins, like, this is how you need to do things, this is how we need to win games, and it has to be somebody who's a good player who really kind of has the standing that Wiggins and Towns have to respect. It just didn't work out. And I don't think you're going to find that again. So I think it's going to be, it's the future of this, of these next couple of years is going to be interesting to watch. I really don't know how it's going to unfold. Maybe it'll go somewhere entirely different than what I'm thinking, but
at least in the short term, it just seems like it's definitely a step back, if not two steps back, because I mean, you're coming off a playoff season with Jimmy Butler, and now in all likelihood he's going to be gone, and now, you know, now where do you go from here? What's your best guess on when this is resolved? Do you anticipate this being, you know, a trade being done within the next week or so, or do you think this is going to drag into, you know, as we get closer to, like, preseason games starting?
I don't see how – I would think a team that is getting Butler would want him for as much of training camp as possible. I would think the Wolves would probably want to resolve this as quick as possible now. I don't think you want this being something that lingers into training camp. So I would guess that the Wolves will probably try to make this something that – now, they haven't been known as the most, like, active franchise, especially since Tibbs and Scott came, but I don't really think they're going to have much of a choice, but rather than to try to make something happen here, of course, sooner than later. So I would say, like, I wouldn't be surprised at all if it happens in this next week just because of the position they're in. They don't really have much of a choice. Like, I don't know how much for negotiating reasons or anything like that they really have in terms of options. It might just be kind of, hey, best deal that we get here in this first week, maybe we have to take it and move forward with what we've got. And you talked about the Wolves taking, like, two steps backward. You know, usually you say that, okay, sometimes you got to take steps backward to go forward. You know, I don't know if that's what you can say you're doing here because, you know, everybody talked about, okay, if it takes Jimmy getting off the team for Cat to sign his extension, then that's what you've got to do. Now you look at it as you've got Cat on a max extension, Wiggins playing for $27 million a year. That's a lot of your cap money signed up.
Mm-hmm.
And is everybody sure that Towns and Wiggins' core is enough to build a great team off of? Like, is everybody sure of that now?
Right.
I mean, because I'm not. We'll see, but I'm not sure if that's, you know, those two are together are enough to kind of be the base for a great team.
I definitely feel like Cat is a guy you can build around, but I mean, if Wiggins is a part of that too, it just on his contract now, I mean, it does make you wonder, like, is this going to be enough? Because you're going to have to, with those two guys taking up, you know, theoretically taking up half of your cap money, like, you know, you're going to have to be really, really, really shrewd and really, really, really smart with your money if you're going to turn this back into a championship contender, which we have not seen in a decade and a half.
Right.
So, no, go ahead.
You look at, I mean, Towns, like, yes, I agree with you. Like, he's a piece you can definitely build around, but you just look at roster construction in the NBA now. Like, he needs, like, an all-star wing
yes.
alongside of him, because you just look at teams that advance far in the playoffs. It's not big-man-led teams. Like, the right. last big man to really carry his team far to, like, a championship level was, what, Dirk? I mean, it just
yeah.
it requires at least an all-star level wing. So that's kind of where it's like, hey, Andrew Wiggins or bust right now from the organization if you just look at how the roster is going to be built pending a Jimmy Butler trade.
Yeah, speaking of, I mean, just as far as like the trade destinations that have come out, you know, Brooklyn, New York, and the LA Clippers, they don't necessarily have to trade him to any of those teams, but have you had a chance yet to think of any pieces from those teams that would really appeal to you, or maybe even a dark horse team, since they don't have to trade him anywhere, you know, that on that list just because he says so?
Yeah, no, you're right. I would generally assume that you're going to get the best offers from those three teams just because they're the ones who know that they can keep Butler long-term, and anybody who
sure.
thinks that they're getting him for a rental is going to trade probably far less or be less interested in trading you big chip pieces. Just like, obviously, it was mostly writing, and then we did this, so not a ton of time to think in between, but I will say, just off the top of my head, you look at like in New York, I don't think Porzingis would be involved in any deal, but
right.
they might be willing to trade like a Kevin Knox, and he obviously is a top 10 pick and looks like a strong, at least defensive player, somebody who maybe could help you out, and if he can shoot the ball at a better clip, obviously, than he did in college, that's a piece that maybe could help you out. Maybe you piece that together with another contract and a pick. You know, and then maybe that's some kind of package. But haven't thought about it a whole ton. May come up with something better than that. But just in general, we'll start out. At least New York has one younger chip piece that would probably interest the Wolves.
Yeah, and what concerns me, though, about Kristaps, as talented as he is, he really drops off around December every single year. Now he's coming off a major knee injury.
He's had a couple of years
he's,
of injuries
what,
now.
7'3"? Like, I mean, there yeah. are some red flags with him. I mean, even as promising as he looks.
Right, yeah, and I still, I don't know, I still think that the New York probably views him as, like, a piece that they're building around. Now,
yeah,
obviously,
right.
if they can get Butler, then too. That's different, and then if you think you can get Kyrie Irving with that, then who cares who your power forward is? If you can have Irving and Butler, you can contend in that Eastern Conference. But, you know, like, I just don't see them training Kristaps. But it'd be interesting to see, and if you're the Wolves, if you have Kristaps in town, you have maybe the most versatile front court in the NBA, but I don't know how successful that would be just in terms of how well are you going to defend the rim, defend big men. Might struggle with that for a while.
Wow. Crazy stuff. I don't know if either one of you saw Ricky Rubio's tweet
I
from
sure
about
did.
An hour
the
ago.
Palm?
Yeah, yeah, the face palm. It's just...
Enes Kanter tweeted out, make the Knicks great again, too. Which is
yeah.
funny, because, Jace, we actually, all three of us would probably wind up covering him.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff. Jace, I know, I mean, there's so much more to come with all of this, and I know you got to get back to doing stuff and just exploring all of this even more for the Pioneer Press. We appreciate it, and we'll have you on again soon. Thanks for coming on with us in the midst of like all of this news,
of
you know, bombs being dropped and all of this good stuff. We appreciate it, man.
Hey, appreciate you guys having me. Always a good time.
All
Thank
right.
you, sir.
Thanks, Jace.
Thanks, guys.
Jace Frederick joining us here. Wow.
I mean,
wow,
we kind
dude.
Of expected this, right?
Yeah, I kind of expected this.
I'm more expected, though. I'm not going to re-sign with you. Do with that what you will. You know, like a nudge, trade me. But I guess it's really, that would be unlike Jimmy, and Jimmy's more trade me.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be interesting to see where he ends up, because, I mean, now that the news is out there, I mean, you can't not trade him. But, wow, oh, man.
I mean, are you,
is,
you excited to have Luol Deng, Derrick Rose, and Taj Gibson as
well,
the survivors?
Seriously, I mean, we're probably looking at, you know, probably at least two former Chicago Bulls in your starting lineup.
This is not what I meant when I didn't see a clear path for Josh Okogie to the floor. That's not what I meant.
Yeah. Well, and I think to Jace's point about, you know, the future now, I mean, now your hope is, I mean, depending on what you get back for Jimmy, your hope is that Josh Okogie turns into something. Like, I mean, I think we were hoping for that anyway, you know, that if this team
was going
to get good.
But they needed him to become something with Jimmy and Cat and
right.
so on and so
and
forth.
Now they're probably going to need him to be even more than what they were initially hoping. And I don't know.
That's a lot of expectation on a rookie now, I think, to where he's going to be on watch to see, you know, how much of Jimmy's job he can start to fill. Because obviously the upside isn't there with, you know, a Luol Deng, but, you know, maybe, you know, they get someone back in there. We don't know quite yet, but now I'm really intrigued by what Okogie can do since the path to the floor obviously has cleared out a little more.
Yeah. Wow. My best guess, I'm just going to add my personal thoughts on this. This is not based on anybody else's opinion or anything
no
like
sauces.
That.
No sauces?
No sauces. I don't think Tibbs is going to survive this.
No, I don't.
He's not going to survive this. This is, I don't know when.
I mean, that was the Jimmy Butler trade was the thing where you hung your hat on and said, yeah, but he got Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. Now the yeah, but's gone and there's just everything else.
And the yeah, but is gone quickly.
Yeah.
After one season,
59
the yeah,
games.
But is gone. So yeah, this is going to be, the only way I could see Tibbs surviving this is if they somehow miraculously make the playoffs. And
they're going to get lucky.
Sans Jimmy Butler, I just don't see a way that they make the playoffs. But, you know, we'll see. This is I will tell you as a fan, I'll speak from a fan perspective and as a media member, radio producer perspective. As a fan, this is extremely, extremely upsetting and disappointing. This whole thing, like where we've gotten from.
Fans are frustrated with this, or at least the ones
yeah.
on Twitter.
And they should
and rightfully
be.
So.
And they should be frustrated. And I don't blame them for being
over
frustrated.
Over and over again, I mean, they get sold, you know, hey, Al Jefferson. Oh, no, wait, Kevin Love.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, it's Andrew Wiggins. No, it's Karl Anthony Towns. Oh, wait, it's Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns. And now, like, are we sure it's Towns? Like, where else do we go from here? What is to look
yeah.
forward to?
Yeah.
And we don't know that answer yet.
Yep. But from a media, radio, podcast producer standpoint, this is part of what makes the job fun is stuff like this, big, major news. And, oh boy, the next week or so is going to be very, 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 very interesting. You can find the Raised by Wolves podcast, of course, on Podcast One, iTunes, 1500ESPN.com. If you have not subscribed to us on iTunes, please do so. Give us a rating. Let us know what you think. Thanks to Jace Frederick for coming on with us at the last minute. I sent a text out to him, you know, right after the news sort of broke and was just like, hey, can you come on with us for a few minutes? End up being almost a half an hour, so we appreciate
that. We're really good
Jace.
At tricking our guests, though.
Yeah. Thanks to you for being patient, and thanks for listening. We will see what happens over the next week or so. Training camp starts next week. Media days is Monday. Oh boy, buckle your seatbelts. This is going to be a crazy ride. Until next time, for Derek James, I'm Manny Hill. Thanks for listening to Raised by Wolves. We will talk to you next time.